You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found in the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful friend to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Kayla Storlett of Cardbini. Kayla, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great because I was thinking there's a few people that I wanted to get in the studio here, and you were one of the people that I'm like, I got to get Kayla in the perfect time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Because you have so much going on. But let's start most recently. You got Cardbini. So let's start there and just tell us, what is Cardbini?
Okay, so Cardbini is a card holder.
Okay.
I say our kind of motto is tab it and grab it. So what it nice. Does is it allows you to tab any card that you have. So credit card, membership card, access card to work or a building, your driver's license. And then what you can do is you can either tab it in your wallet. So it ends the fighting with your wallet. So you're not digging in your wallet, stretching your wallet out, wrecking your fingernails. And it allows you to pull out each card with ease. Or you can carry all of your cards either on a lanyard, a bracelet, or on your car keys.
Oh, nice. So how long has this been available for the public to purchase?
So I launched about 2 months ago.
Oh, nice. Okay. And is this available just on your website or all over the internet, Amazon, stuff like that? Or
yeah, so I have it on www.cardbini.com.
Okay.
And it's also on Etsy. It's on Wish.
Okay.
It's on Facebook.
Okay.
It's on eBay.
Nice.
And I'm waiting for approval for my Amazon store.
Gotcha. That's a bigger deal. I totally get that.
I know. It's really hard to get your membership approved. Like, they have a lot of documents that you have to get through before they're like, okay, you're approved.
Yeah.
So it's a process. Interesting. Yeah.
So what made you decide to get into offering a product, so to speak?
Well, I used to own a cleaning service called Kayla's Custom Cleaning. I sold it in December. But what was happening was, since I had an office at home and I had an office at work, I had different vehicles. I had different clothes I had to wear, because you had to wear different clothes for a cleaning.
Oh, sure.
Versus a professional meeting, a board meeting, or networking. So I was switching cars, offices, clothing. And I'd show up at networking events with no credit card, no ID, and I would be stuck. And so one of the last straws was, I was actually stuck in a parking garage.
Okay.
And if you do not have a credit card or the right credit card in a parking garage, you have to wait for somebody to let you out.
Sure.
So I punched a hole in all of my credit cards.
Okay.
And started using them on my key rings, because I knew if I had my car keys, I had everything I needed.
Sure.
I didn't have to search all these different pockets or different vehicles. I just, if I was taking the car, I was going, I had what I needed. And then people just kept grabbing it and saying, like, that's such a good idea. And then what happened was, is when I launched, it's interesting to try and get people to switch habits, because holding them on your key ring, to a lot of people, it scares them. They're worried about identity theft. So what it really evolved to was tabbing it in your wallet.
Okay.
So, and I'm at that point where, like, the light bulb moment is going to happen, where I'm going to be like, I am going to convert everyone. So nice. They will start carrying them on their keys.
Sure. You heard it here, right?
Right. Exactly. So it's interesting to try and figure out how the brain works with a product versus a service.
I bet, because now you're asking people to essentially purchase something that they may not have ever seen before.
Yeah.
Or may not have tangibly, like, held it in their hands.
Totally. It's first to market. So I invented it. It has a patent pending.
Nice.
Nobody's ever seen this. So it's kind of like, it's really interesting to watch people. I've been doing some vendor shows just so I can kind of get in the mind of the consumer.
Sure.
And to watch them touch it and look at it and ask questions and, you know, and they're like, oh, that's such a great idea. And I'm getting good sales, but they say it takes 7 times usually for someone to buy a product.
Oh, sure.
Yep. So now is like massive seed planting. Time. Like, I'm trying to get it out there so people will see it that 7 times, and then we'll start really converting the sales.
Sure. So you said you've been doing some vendor shows. Is this for stores to pick it up, or?
It's they've been like vendor and craft shows. So okay. It's like last minute Christmas shopping. There's all kinds of different products that go sure. there. But it allows me to actually talk to the consumer.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I think where people get ahead of themselves, or I've heard from others in the past, is they launch this product without doing the consumer research
mm-hmm.
and finding out what the people really want.
Sure.
You know, they go logo their vehicle without figuring out what the message is.
Sure.
So that's been really great to talk to. Like, I've talked to hundreds of people over the last month.
Sure.
To figure out what I should do for the next version.
Sure.
What they like about it, what they don't like about it, what mm-hmm. makes sense. So it's been really interesting.
Interesting. So tell me about manufacturing, because that's the thing, right? I imagine unless you have some manufacturing facility in your basement or something like that.
Right.
You have to outsource the manufacturing of it.
Right.
Which is probably, you have to deal with quality and the design and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Can you just walk us through that?
So I actually had partners in the beginning, and I just bought them out 2 months ago. So,
oh, nice.
So they handled more of it than I did. One partner had a background in engineering and mm-hmm. manufacturing. He actually owned a manufacturing company.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of that was in his hands, but I can tell you kind of the process that I was in on is that we needed to find an engineer that could give us sketches
mm-hmm.
of prototypes because we weren't sure how to, you know, turn this hole in a credit card into an actual product.
Like sure.
that had to be all created.
Mm-hmm.
So the first version they came out with was actually a piece of metal, and it was just way too expensive. And and I was like, no way. You
right.
know, like, this needs to be able to be inexpensive, easy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want it to be such a high-end product that
right.
it's going to even narrow the market even more. Like, mm-hmm. I want it to be something everybody can buy.
Mm-hmm.
So we scratched that idea, and then we were kind of just going through different ideas, and actually the engineer was like brilliant and being like, well, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the end, what it came out to be is a tab with a semi-permanent sticker mm-hmm. that you can stick and restick. I've restuck one like 65 times. I wouldn't recommend that much.
Wow. Okay.
But it seems like 50 times of sticking and resticking, it still works
nice.
Really well.
Huh.
But yeah. And then once you go through the manufacturing process or the engineer figures out the design and all mm-hmm. that stuff, then you apply for your patent.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So it has a patent pending. That takes a little bit of time.
Okay.
Once you submit your application for the patent, it usually takes about 2 years before the patent
Whoa.
People actually look at it. And
okay.
whoever has gotten the patent in first is, mm-hmm. is who's approved.
Sure.
So we're actually about maybe close to a year into that process
okay.
of the patent being submitted.
Huh. Okay.
And then we found a manufacturer that was fantastic and like totally met our price point and
mm-hmm.
Super lucky. Like, I've heard of people like getting rounds and rounds of mm-hmm. product that's not usable. Like,
sure.
It was completely nailed on the first run. Like,
oh, I'm nice.
Really happy with the product.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard of people that have, there's a guy that I know that has a product that he's manufacturing in China or is having manufactured for him. And he is at a 30% failure rate.
Wow.
And because of the price difference, China to U.S. manufacturing, he's still coming out way ahead.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm like, 30% failure rate and you're still ahead? That blows my mind.
I've heard that before, too. That I saw the guy that created the product Ring, which
okay.
is like this doorbell camera system.
Sure.
Yep. It's actually brilliant. He was on Shark Tank, and I got to hear him speak. And he said his first, you know, product was like terrible.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, they were able to revamp it, but
sure.
that's just part of the process. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you actually brought that up because I'm super thankful for that. Like,
mm-hmm.
it came out perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So is it to the point where you have to purchase thousands of these things and just store them?
So the first round, we printed 10,000.
Okay.
And they're on wheels of like 2,500. So
okay.
I'm halfway through my first wheel.
Gotcha.
In just 2 months.
Okay.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
So then are you the one that has to ship them, or do you have another company drop ship them, or how does that work?
I ship them right now, but you can get different services they're called like packing services.
Okay.
And then they can pack and ship everything for you. But at this point in the
right.
game, there's not enough volume
sure.
to do that.
We're not there yet.
Right. Yeah.
Give it a few months.
I'm going on vacation in January, and my dad will be my packer.
Oh, nice. All right.
He used to work for UPS, so
sure.
he knows what he's doing.
Nice. That's awesome. So let's go on a timeline before. So this has been probably a year in the process?
It's been about 2 years since I actually had the idea, met with my first partner.
Okay.
We found the other partner.
And sure.
So it's been about 2 years.
Okay. So you raised an interesting point. Let's shift into partners.
Yeah.
Because partnerships in business, that's a whole new world, good or bad.
Sure.
So can you talk us about that, how you chose partners and I guess the story, how you ended up, who owns what and who invests what and who does what, all that jazz?
Yeah. So I should back up a little bit. So prior to this invention, I actually was a co-founder to a first-to-market software application.
Oh, nice.
Called Turnover App. And I
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yep. And I had two partners.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually sold my shares because it really honestly just was not, it wasn't going well.
Oh, no.
We had different ideas about business and
sure.
how customers should be treated and it just, it wasn't going to work. So
okay. You're talking the partnership itself.
Exactly.
Software is probably fine. The partnership, maybe not so much.
Yeah. And the software had issues too in the end that I didn't feel super comfortable actually selling to people. Like I could have bought the software out, but my background's not in software.
Sure.
You know, so I was like, in the end, I was like, do I really want to own a software company by myself?
Sure.
No.
No.
And it's a brilliant idea. And,
mm-hmm.
and other companies have since adapted it. And it wasn't all a loss because I actually ended up getting a consulting job.
Oh, nice.
Helping one of the largest companies in America that manages student housing,
mm-hmm.
helping them with their cleaners and their painters and
oh, nice.
Kind of giving them new fresh ideas
sure.
on how to integrate their and improve their turnover process.
Sure. Which is essentially what that software was all about, right?
Yeah. So
sure.
what it did is it automated the move-in, move-out process for properties like student housing. When all
mm-hmm.
of our students move out, you have to get in there and you have to paint and clean and
mm-hmm.
do maintenance and shampoo the carpets. And nobody knew where anyone was in the building and what units were done.
Mm-hmm.
So what the software did was allow each service provider to click on an app and say, I'm in here, I'm done, and here's my total time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So it was a great idea. So I had already had that experience under my belt. I knew
mm-hmm.
how to, you know, do legal and how to do different, like what percentage of the company and all that stuff. And so I did not learn from my mistake.
Fair. Totally fair. Oh, that's awesome.
Or listen to all of the coaching that people told me I apparently needed to go through the process again.
Sure. Yeah, it's the best way to learn is redundancy, right?
Right. So I ended up meeting my first partner, and he's a great guy. Like, love this guy. And he brought another partner on, and we just did not see eye to eye again.
Okay.
Like,
you and the first guy or you and the second guy?
The second guy.
Okay.
So I just think it's, you know, and I'm not blaming him 100%. It was like
sure.
oil and water. And also, you know, when you've done it twice and it didn't work out twice, like you get to point the finger at yourself a little bit.
Sure.
Like,
there's a little common denominator.
There is.
Sure.
Like I was definitely the kid in school who wanted to work alone.
Mm-hmm. So, that's all right. That's all right.
You got to know yourself and you got to learn. But I think, you know, like if anyone's listening and they're thinking about getting partners,
mm-hmm.
The reality of it is that it's harder than a marriage.
Oh, sure.
It really is, because at least with a marriage, you have attraction
mm-hmm.
going in and you have love and you have children and,
sure.
you know, there's an incentive to really work on things. And there's a serious commitment there.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a partnership between business, all of those things go out the door. You don't have those things as,
mm-hmm.
as part of the foundation. And the number one thing couples fight about is money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you've taken a relationship based only on money.
Sure.
That's really a difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really, really important. And so many people told me this, and I'm such an optimist, where I'm like, everything will be fine.
Sure, rainbows, moonbeams.
It'll
yeah.
be sure. great. There's not going to be any problems. Like,
sure.
we are going to all get along. And I, you know, that's not the reality. So you really have to ask ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to put in how much time?
Mm-hmm.
And don't just ask the question, get it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's kind of where we failed, is when it got to the end, I started asking these questions again that I thought were addressed. Like, how much time are you going to spend? How much time are you going to spend?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I kind of was back in this situation again where I was going to feel like I was doing the majority of the work.
Sure.
And that was not the point of having partners.
Right. Not at all.
Right. So, and it's, if it's your, you know, the other mistake I made both times was not having majority shares,
mm-hmm.
thinking it's fair to let everyone have an equal say.
Mm-hmm.
That's also just like, totally not a good idea. Like,
sure.
You, if it's your product, you need to have the majority share, or you're mm-hmm. putting yourself in a very risky
sure.
situation,
mm-hmm.
and you have no power,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, yeah, I think partners are really tough for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard a lot of great stories about them.
Sure. No, I've had one partnership go very, very, very south, and my current one with Calls on Call is going well, I'd say.
Good.
Yeah, at least as far as I know.
Good. So,
it's been 7 years.
I think
years
you would cool. know if there was some problems.
Yeah, yeah. The other one went, that didn't take long at all for that to take a hard 90 degrees straight south.
Yeah, you know, and it's like you go in with the best intentions thinking,
mm-hmm.
and that's just not reality. And mm-hmm. so I think people, and I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer because I am totally an optimist.
Sure.
But you got to be aware of like the struggles that you're going to have if right. you decide that partnership is something sure. that sounds attractive to you.
And try to figure out what is the purpose of the partnership really? Like, is there any real benefit to it?
Right.
Or you just, does it come down to you need some financial backing or something like that, where you just want to bring somebody on for that?
Right.
Or you're really bringing a skill set on. And then it comes down to the work ethic of that partner. How well do you know them?
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Totally
that's
understand.
Question.
That's fair. Totally
I'm
fair.
I'm super happy to be solo.
Nice. Well, congrats on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Was that a big deal to get out of the software one and get into the Cardbini one on your own?
The software one went pretty smooth. Like, that was easy enough.
You just said, hey, I want out. And they're like, fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's some money.
Yep. And it worked out fine. I didn't, you know, I lost money in the end because we were still pre-sales.
Sure.
But I feel like it was like a master's in
sure.
business just going through the whole process because we got in a business accelerator. So I learned how to pitch.
Oh, nice.
We got into some pitching competitions. So I got to learn the whole world of getting investors.
Oh, sure.
And that's also interesting too, because a lot of people think like that's such a great round to, you know, like way to go about things, but you
mm-hmm.
have to be a little bit careful too, because that world also attracts people that
mm-hmm.
are looking for brilliant ideas.
Sure.
And they have a lot of money and they're mm-hmm. able to take your idea and run with it
mm-hmm.
way faster than you ever can.
Sure.
So that, I mean, that was actually a godsend, because then I knew on the second round, like, keep your
mm-hmm.
idea to yourself. Don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do now.
Right.
You already learned that.
Mm-hmm.
But the second buyout was really difficult. It's probably,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Because they didn't want to be bought out, or just figuring out a number?
It was like, I felt like I was being abused verbally.
Oh.
So, like, I had to hold my guns.
Sure.
And really just, I had a great analogy from, I also study energy work, like
sure.
the human body
mm-hmm.
energy, like, it's called Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an analogy where they said, you need to learn how to swim like a shark
mm.
without being a predator.
Sure.
Meaning, stand up for yourself and learn the mindset of business only
mm-hmm.
and kind of take the personal part of it out
mm-hmm.
of it and really learn how to outsmart.
Sure.
And that was such an empowering lesson for me.
Sure.
Because I avoid conflict. Like
mm-hmm.
I do not like conflict, and I stood up for myself. And yeah, I'm just really thankful.
That's awesome. So it all worked out.
It did. It's
so
great.
It's all good.
Everybody's
cool.
good.
Cool, cool. So before, so let me think, the Reiki stuff you got into.
Yep.
And was that pre-software, or is that, I guess, where does that fit
that
in?
That came, after I sold that company, that came after.
Okay.
I have a rare ability to see some of the human aura.
Okay.
And the aura is, are you familiar with what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I started seeing halos
mm-hmm.
Around people's heads, and For anyone who doesn't know what that means, if you look at any religious paintings or paintings from the Egyptians or the mm-hmm. Buddha or Jesus or saints, you'll see a light around their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And I can see it sometimes. So
sure.
that started this journey of trying to figure out what I was seeing all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And I met all these, you know, like, when one door opens, people just kind of start coming through
sure.
it as
oh, yeah.
you ask the question. So I met all these like amazing healers. I mm-hmm. traveled to Maui and Sedona and
oh,
Australia
nice.
And met all these people. So I started to learn a lot more about energy work.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So was the intention there to learn on a personal level or more to start a business doing Reiki type stuff?
That's a good question. I really just was on a journey to try and figure out myself.
Okay, fair. Totally fair.
Yeah.
There's like, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of turned, and I love it. Like
mm-hmm.
that, when I work with somebody doing the energy work, I love it. My eyes just light up. And
okay.
I work with children too. So with adults, it's hands-on healing. With children, it's imagination and play and
okay.
art. And I teach them about how to shine from the inside out, which mm-hmm. is really what energy work is
mm-hmm.
it's taking your inner light and,
sure.
and letting it shine so others can actually be touched by your light as well.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So that's still a journey that you're going down.
Yeah.
And then do you offer this stuff?
Yeah, so I do appointments out of my home in Sun Prairie.
Okay.
I can travel to other people's homes.
Okay.
But yeah, I have a room set up for the Reiki sessions, and then when we do children sessions, they just play all over my house.
Sure.
And play with my dog and run around outside.
Nice.
Sometimes we do like treasure hunts.
Sure.
And things like that. Anything to make it fun so they're engaged.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I forget all that you have going on or had going on slash have. So the Kayla's Custom Cleaning, when you had that,
yeah.
is there anything else I'm missing in between Kayla's and now?
Nope.
We got Cardini Reiki software. Okay.
Yep.
So Kayla's, how long did you have Kayla's?
I had it for just under 20 years.
Holy cow. Did you really?
Yeah.
Holy
I started cow. It when I was like just 20.
Dang. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to sell that thing?
You know, I just, like my dad said, he's like, you're not challenged anymore.
Mm.
You know, it was amazing. Towards the end, it worked like a perfect machine.
Sure.
Everything had been perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Like
the systems and all that jazz.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to do it anymore. It just
right.
wasn't a passion for me.
Sure.
When I first started my cleaning company, I started it because I love to clean.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing things change.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you know, so like, you go into a house, it's messy, it's dirty, and
mm-hmm.
when you're done, it's beautiful.
Sure.
And then the company got so big that I couldn't clean anymore.
Okay.
And
see, to me, that sounds like a good thing.
It is, but it came at a price. You know, I was, I got pretty sick. I had chronic fatigue.
Okay.
So if you're not familiar with that, like literally I'd go into work and I'd have to sleep.
I
just couldn't hold my head up.
Oh.
It's very humbling.
Okay.
Because I mean, I used to be like the road racer.
Sure,
like,
right.
I just
right.
run everywhere all
mm-hmm.
the time. And I just realized like the amount of stress that business had caused because
sure.
you're constantly, I mean, we had over 40 employees before
mm-hmm.
we switched to all subcontractors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot in over 20 years.
Sure.
I was ready to do something that was less stress.
Right. Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fair. So how come you didn't just hire management or something like that and then just get your nut every month or every couple of weeks from the business being
yeah.
as big and self-sustaining?
You know, I think that's in reality, that sounds fantastic. But
mm-hmm.
if management leaves,
fair.
You're
totally
back
fair.
In. You're
yep.
totally, you have to be there.
Sure.
You know, and yeah, that totally could have been an option, but I'm on a journey to start a family of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to have to raise my children and
mm-hmm.
say, sorry, guys, like
sure.
for the next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
management left.
No, that's fair. Totally fair. Totally. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
So then from that story, I want to delve into that business a little bit because
sure.
20 years, that's
a long
time. Holy cow. So 40 employees, and plus you're dealing with people that are cleaning houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So were the employees a challenge?
You know, it was, yeah, it really was, because We, in the beginning, we had everyone meet at our office. Mm-hmm. So, like, the beginning of the day was really stressful because you have everyone showing up to get their stuff, you know, and you're trying to get everything ready in a super short amount of time. So that part was difficult, like energetically for me. I'm really sensitive to other people's like feelings and things like that. So I just felt so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
In the end, we switched to all subcontractors.
How did that work?
It was amazing.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was so amazing. So it just kind of happened where we hired one subcontractor. We tested them and we realized the brilliance in it. You know, it was one woman with two other employees, which is manageable, right? Like she's on every job.
Sure.
She's making sure that her two employees are doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we just have managers that come and go.
Sure.
And you don't know if like they're always doing an amazing job.
Right.
When it's an owner and you can say like, here, I'll give you these jobs. If you do well, we'll give you more.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, like poof, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Game over. See you later.
Yeah. You know, like there's no unemployment. You don't have to worry about discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
None of those things apply. It's like, it's all based on if they do a good job or not.
Sure.
And they're honest and you know, they keep their word. So, and the other great thing about it was, is that you didn't have to deal with all of, you know, when you have 40 people asking questions throughout the day, that's really hard administratively.
Mm-hmm. When it's insane.
Right. So we went to five subcontractors, each with their own employees. Now we're only answering questions from five people.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was amazing.
Sure. That's awesome.
And they were good people. The people we hired to do the subcontracting, I think they're all still there now.
Okay.
Were good people.
So they were not your employees at the time.
Right. They're all subcontractors.
Gotcha. So did you have one day where you pulled your employees in and said, hey?
They slowly, so the cleaning industry has a national average turnover rate of 300%.
Wow.
So that would be
three times a year.
Three times a year. The whole team is gone. Our turnover rate was 50%.
Okay.
So we figured out a way to do it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we had half of our employees that always stayed and 50% that were always a revolving door.
Sure.
That's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So what we slowly did is we hired one subcontractor as, you know, some of that 50% left, and then we hired another one, and then we hired another one until we had our 50%. There was still employees left that were the gems, the amazing people, you know, were all left, and then the rest were the subcontractors.
Gotcha.
So
it really wasn't too big of a hiccup to existing employees or anything like that.
Oh, no. We didn't people created their own destiny as far as who stayed and who left.
Sure, fair.
So we worked with the flow. As people left, we hired more subcontractors.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So administratively, it was less to deal with.
Yes.
You had less that you had to deal with from, I suppose, from just throttling. If you gain a client or lose a client,
mm-hmm.
you just call up the subcontractors and they can help you throttle as needed without like, oh, we have to hire 50 employees or 10
employees
or whatever.
They hired the people as they grew.
Sure, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how soon before you sold did you make that transition?
It was about a year and a half that we had started it.
Okay.
And then by 6 months before I sold it, and we had totally transitioned to that.
Gotcha.
But it was amazing. Like every number in the profit loss was going, I mean, our profits were just flying high, you know, because you don't have to have four people in the office anymore. We are running it with two.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep.
So and you cut your admin staff in half.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No longer needed to have a huge office where everyone came to every morning.
Okay.
They all just got their jobs and met where they needed to meet.
So did you get rid of your office then?
Yes.
Okay. So then the admins were working from home or something like that?
I still had the office when I owned it, and then the lease ran out in May. And so Samantha Parrish is the new owner. And so then she's...
Samantha... Old employee then, right?
Yeah, so my office manager bought it.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, that worked out well.
It did, and she is amazing, and she's running the company better than I did.
Sure.
She really is. Nice. I'm like, that's super humbling.
You thought she had everything in order, and she's like, time to clean house.
She's super good. I mean, she's amazing. You know, the part looking back now is like, I think as a business owner, we think we have to be running around creating things all the time.
Sure.
And we do, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we overcreate things.
Fair.
And we run around to all these networking events and all these board meetings. And some of it has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it actually is not helpful to your business at all.
Just busy work?
Yeah, it is. And it's like, it's chasing the tail.
Right.
You know, like, I looked at the profit loss recently, and sales are down.
Okay.
But profits are up.
For the business you sold.
Right.
Okay.
Sales are down, our profits are up. So she's more focused on the business than generating new business.
Sure.
And that's actually generating more revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Or not revenue, but I should say
profit.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yes. She's getting paid more to do less.
Exactly.
Probably not a bad
thing. If I could tell business owners anything, it's like, stop running around wasting so much energy thinking you have to plant so many seeds.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just spend, before I sold the business, because I knew I had to like kind of perfect this if I wanted to get what it was worth,
mm-hmm.
I really focused in on looking at where we were wasting energy.
Oh, interesting.
And that's where the Reiki actually like completely complemented this business, because I knew enough about human energy that I could say, where can we trim things, make things easier?
Mm-hmm.
How can we like press one button and click every credit card for the day?
Sure.
Versus like, this person's on this system, this, no, one system,
mm-hmm.
streamline everything.
Sure. That's awesome. So when you decided that you wanted to sell, did you reach out to Samantha, or did she reach out to you and say, hey, do you want to sell this, or how did that work?
Yeah, so I had kind of told her that I was thinking about that,
mm-hmm.
and I met with another local cleaning company. And when you sell a business, a lot of times what happens is they want you as the previous owner to mm-hmm. stay on for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that's, years. That's normally, or even maybe just a year.
Sure.
To transition the company.
Mm-hmm.
And also to help as talent, usually for their existing company.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that.
All right.
So that was kind of the offer that I got from this other cleaning company. And so with Samantha, I had taught her everything I knew. I had already been slowly transitioning her to know everything, whether she bought it or someone else, because that makes the company more profitable.
Sure. Yep.
And so, you know, we just worked it out that she took it over. And if she had in-depth questions, she would pay me a consulting fee.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it just made, and she's a good person. I knew she would do well.
So at a given date, the sale date, essentially, you were able to walk away.
I did.
Oh, that's so cool. High five there.
Thank you.
Boom. That is fantastic. Yeah. Wow. I didn't get that lucky when I sold mine.
Yeah. I mean, it was creative, but I knew what I wanted, and I knew it was a great deal for her. Like,
sure.
And, you know, and I don't know. I was like, okay, do you stick around for a couple of years and you're not really making that, you know what I mean? Like
you're not doing anything. It's a job.
Yeah.
And that's the worst place to be in when you're an entrepreneur and you have all these
things. I think I would have been like really annoying to everybody.
Well, I just think of all you've done in the couple of years, well, 1 year since you sold.
Yeah.
All that stuff you wouldn't have had the time to do.
True.
Or at least not on the scale or level that you've done it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it gave me time. And I'm not going to lie. When you sell a business, it's an emotional roller coaster. Like,
oh, that's interesting you say that, because that was fine.
Were you really?
Oh, my God. Best thing in the world.
Well, how long did you do it for?
How long did I negotiate? Or
the business that you sold, how long did you do it for?
I was a month shy of 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
20. That's a half of my life.
20. That's a
half of my entire life. And it was only really my serious second job I ever had.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So it was like the only thing. So it was like my baby.
Oh, I hate that analogy. I get it. I completely understand.
Because
it's your creation and stuff like that. But I'm like, I'm totally cool selling my business. We're my baby. There's days when I consider it. But generally speaking, no, you don't want to sell your baby.
Yes, yeah.
But your business, totally. Yeah. That's exactly why you build them.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, so much of my entire identity.
That's fair.
Was in that.
Your name is in it?
Yeah.
Sure. You
know, and I did it for a long time.
And I bet people still ask you, hey, how much is it to clean this office whatever, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing I did into the contract. If anyone asked me, I get $20.
Oh, really?
Referral fee, yeah.
Nice. Because
I knew that was going to come, you know, for years.
Oh, that was smart. That was genius.
Yeah.
Anybody listening that's considering selling a business, that's your nugget that's going to make you money right there.
Fee.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure.
After 4 years, I'm still getting questions about people's printer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Have you been under a rock?
Yeah, just ask for some type of fee. And then you're happy to sell it, right? It's like just two-minute conversation, $20.
Give them the phone number, and people probably consider me rude. Because I'm just like, it's been 4 years, right?
Right.
Like, no.
You feel like you're still working for it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just feel like how much communication have we had between that moment 4 years ago and now that at no point was I talking about printers and you in the back of your head were like, you know, I got this HP that's jamming a lot.
Hey, that's the power of branding.
Sure, that's fair.
I mean, fair. You did a good job.
Right.
If you really look at it.
That's true. Now I'm trying to pivot. Just rip that metal off. Like, no. No printers anymore. That's somebody else's headache now.
That's funny.
That's interesting. So was it tough to come up with a price?
Yeah, that was an interesting process too. So normally what you do when you sell your business, you have a business evaluation done. I did have that done.
Okay.
And the company that we hired, they are to look at your management and your profit loss.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use all of these different rules.
Sure, the magical formulas, right?
Right. And mm-hmm. So my company didn't match those rules because my profit margins were like, there was like a 25% decrease in insurance, and there was like a 25 or let's say 40% decrease in payroll.
Oh.
Which is abnormal, right?
Sure,
and
sure.
Then our rent had gone way down. And part of the thing that's like built into an evaluation is these expenses always go up.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So when I got my evaluation back, I said, like, this is like totally,
yeah,
it's all crap.
What did we just pay you for?
Yeah. And then I fought with them and I said, I'm not paying you for this unless you fix these things.
Sure.
Because payroll is going down.
Mm-hmm.
Our lease, rent is going way down, and they had mm-hmm. it going up. Like, there's nothing about this as I was right. And so a really good friend of mine, who is a financial advisor, said, why don't you just come up with your own number?
Mm-hmm.
So I base it for cleaning companies, you usually get 4 to 5 times your profit.
Okay.
And it's usually based on an average of 5 years of sales.
Okay.
Or 3 to 5 years, somewhere sure. in there. So what I did is I based it on, I think it was 4 or 4.5. I think it was 4. 4 times that year's sales.
Okay.
And because what was happening is even this next year, the profit margin was going to go up because
mm-hmm.
we switched it in the middle of the year
sure.
to the full transition. And we had enough
subcontractors and all that jazz.
Yeah, we had sure. enough data to see it all changing.
Okay.
And that was totally agreeable. And
sure.
it was a win for me and a win for her completely.
Nice.
So in the end, them failing was my win.
That's awesome. Did you have to pay them there?
We're still, we've been going back and forth. All like
right.
I said, I would offer them, I think it was like $5,000.
Yeah, it's insane what they want for them.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh.
So,
yeah.
And they didn't fix what I said was
right.
wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so they sent it to collections and I said, I'll pay you $1,000
sure.
because you did help me get
right.
to, and I think it's fair. Like
sure.
they did some work.
Yep.
But they haven't gotten back to me. So yeah. I will pay them $1,000.
Sure. That's fair. No, I totally understand, right?
Yep.
Some of those businesses like that, I'm just like, $5,000? Because I looked at too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're crazy. Because in the end, it's going to be worth whatever somebody's willing to pay.
Right.
And somebody's going to be willing to pay whatever they think that they can make off this. So there really isn't a super magical algorithm.
No.
You're kind of making one or saying that you have one.
Yeah.
To charge such an atrocious price for that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And I would have absolutely paid them $5,000 had the data been accurate.
Oh, sure.
That would have been no problem at all because that's what I agreed to. But
sure.
since I said, hey, this is wrong, and then they didn't fix it.
Oh.
And I asked them again and again and again to
sure.
fix it. They just blew it off.
All right.
It was like, okay. And we started the negotiation right before the end of the year, and we wanted to close
mm-hmm.
at the end of the year.
You're talking last year.
Yeah, so
okay.
that the financials would just be
yep.
done.
January 1st, boom.
So I had no time to like keep arguing with them. I'm like,
right.
you're not going to fix it, then I have to just...
Right.
And then I was like, how do I do this on my own?
Right. Let's go to Google and find this answer.
Luckily, that very wise man that I
sure.
know advised me, and it worked out great for
That's
both
awesome.
Of us. Yeah.
Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Samantha's doing well with the business, it sounds like?
She is amazing.
Nice.
She's doing a really good job. I don't even want to look at the profit loss anymore.
Because you're like, wait.
What did I do?
Sure. That's awesome. So you've had this business 20 years. You sell that. You start a couple other businesses. You get this energy thing going on.
Yep.
So what are you focused on for the next year, let's say? What does 2019 have for you?
So it's still, you know, I see Card Beanie starting to do really well. Like, you know, I got my first Etsy order today.
Nice.
And I got it on there yesterday.
You're talking like literally today?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Look how that works.
Yep. Boom. And I just put it on there yesterday.
Sure. That's the power of being on the radio here.
Oh, no. So, you know, I really want to see Card Beanie grow. I think it's a great business that, you know, when I do have children, I can just pack orders from home if I'm still doing the packer. But it's like, I can do everything from home from that business. So doing that, and like, I always want to spread the word of the Reiki. Like, I think it's just, it's such a beneficial treatment to have.
Sure.
It's, there's so many benefits to it. Like, it helps with focus and sleep and anxiety and depression.
Sure.
All kinds of things. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Nice.
So that, and start a family and, you know, who knows what else.
Right, right. What other idea will pop up in there?
Yeah, honestly, I'm just trying to figure out who I am.
Well, we don't have that much time, but we could probably go down the road a little bit, right? So what do you mean who you are?
Well, I think when you sell your business, right, like every day for 20 years, you had this routine.
Mm-hmm.
You had these expectations of you, of yourself, and from others.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take that weight and you remove it, weight or whatever you want to call it.
We'll totally
routine,
call it weight.
Routine, weight, whatever.
Very heavy, prickly weight.
Right. Yes. Like, you start to learn so much about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and so I feel like a completely different person.
Sure.
But with that, there's uncertainty, right? So you're like, what do I like to do? Like, how do I want to spend my time?
Oh, sure.
You know, because
you find yourself with all this time.
Well, not just that. It's just everything's different because you had this routine, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like when you move into a new house. Like, that's such a short-term thing. But for, what, 2, 3, 4 months, you're like, I don't know about these windows and this light and where the furniture is.
Sure.
You know, it takes some adjusting to.
Sure. What do I do with all this freedom that I got?
Right.
I fought for it so hard and I finally have it. I don't know what to do with it now.
It's true. Like, you have to relearn.
Sure.
Everything. And I love it.
Sure.
But it's also interesting because you're completely recreating yourself as a person.
And you get to, and you're smart enough now where you can actually decide, like, this isn't going to happen accidentally.
Right.
You can actually decide what it's going to be.
Yes.
But then it comes down to, like, oh, what am I going to decide?
Yeah.
So you don't want to make the wrong decision, right? But on the flip side, the world's your oyster kind of thing, right?
It's true.
Grab your pearl. So.
It's true. I think what I'm really trying to focus on this time, instead of, you know, like, looking back at creating that business, like, I did a great job. Like, I really was an amazing business.
Sure,
like, we didn't get hardly any complaints. Customers were happy. We never missed appointments, which is completely rare in the cleaning business. Like, I did a great job with that. But I created a lot of stress where there didn't need to be, which
for
I
for yourself, for the company, or employees?
Just all of it, you know, like, because I think you get so caught up in how fast paced it is that you don't, you know, take your foot off the gas and just say, like, we're just going to cool it just for a little bit and see really what's going on here.
Sure.
Instead of just, like, trying to always put out fires and create more, this time around, I really want to create with purpose instead of just to be throwing irons in the fire all over the place to see what's going to happen.
Sure.
Like, I'm purposely slowing down a little bit so I can see results.
Okay.
Versus, like, throwing seeds everywhere.
Sure. Sure. Just spitting nitrous, diesel fuel, jet fuel, anything to feed the fire.
Yeah.
Just go, 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 go.
That's how I used to be. Just everything had to be go, 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 go. And now I'm trying to, like, just do things in a more relaxed, sustainable, healthy way. Really.
Sure.
It's about being healthy and balanced and not so driven. You know, I think that's a lot of business owners suffer from always doing more.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to settle.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. As I'm hearing you talk, I'm like, when I sold my business, I didn't skip a beat, man. I just go into the next business and just go, 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 go. As you mentioned the word driven, like, at no point did I take the time to even smell a flower.
Yeah.
You're just go, go, go. Because my, I guess, mantra, whatever, was just grow or die.
Yeah.
And so you wanted to be growing because I wasn't really interested in dying. I'm still not. So it's interesting that you say that. Yeah, I don't even know if I'd know how to slow down.
Yeah, it's really hard. I'm not. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing I could have done for myself because okay. I feel better and I'm healthier and I have, it's interesting. I watch business owners now mm-hmm. with my foot off the gas, right? Sure. And I see how much stress there is.
Sure.
And the only reason I can see that is because that was me.
Sure.
Right?
All right.
And I realize now watching that, I'm like a much more peaceful being.
Uh-huh.
And I don't create chaos and all this. I'm not so driven that I can't see what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I have this theory or this image in my mind sometimes where I'm pushing so hard against the wall and 6 inches to my left is a door.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pushing so hard against this wall because I got to get through that wall, right? Mm-hmm. When there's just a door like right there.
That was me for 20 years.
And sure. And an outsider that's 3 feet away from you would be just be like, hey, why don't you just use that door? And I'd be like, no, I'm pushing harder, right?
But you have to take a minute to stop to even see that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I think when you're a business owner, you're under a lot of pressure to like,
Oh, and there's all the fires, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I only have 4 employees with my current business. You with your 40, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, there had to be just headaches.
Well, it trains you to think super fast, right? Sure. Like yep. you have to like, so if someone's at someone's house and they can't get in, right? Mm-hmm. I have 4 employees sitting there. The clock is going tick, tock, tick, mm-hmm. tock. If every second I take making a decision costs me money.
Yes.
So I was making decisions like that on the fly all the time that it mm-hmm. trains you
sure.
to think really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like once I slowed down and started studying the energy work,
mm-hmm.
if you can create peace
sure.
in your business,
mm-hmm.
everything goes better and fair. You make more money.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
But we're not wired that way. We're wired for a little bit of chaos.
Right. There's a little bit of entertainment value in the chaos.
There is. But when you really learn peace, you won't believe that anymore.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll have to trust you on that one. See, I always think, like, if I had a choice between a movie,
mm-hmm.
would I watch some action flick with stuff exploding all the time, or would I watch Bridges of Madison County?
True.
You know, I'm totally watching that explosion, right? So we're just attracted to that, right?
It is, you know, and there's purpose for it, too, mm-hmm. because there's very few people that are actually the leader.
Sure.
So you have to be able to be the person that will walk into a fire,
right?
Should we say. You know right. what I mean? Like,
with no second thought.
Right.
Just like, we're doing this, right?
Right.
Because who else is going to do it?
But you can walk into that fire with chaos, or you can walk into that fire with peace.
Sure. Fair.
So totally you fair. Could still watch the action movie.
Right.
But you could be a different type of superhero.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I get that. Well played. Well played.
The Reiki I was working with, a business owner, and he owns a large company.
Okay.
And he was saying his biggest struggle is that since he's been so wired to make all these quick decisions,
mm-hmm.
that now he can't be settled with his family.
Can't be. Oh, interesting.
He can't, like, relax.
Oh.
And he'll go to these different events, and he's already thinking about the next event.
Oh, wow.
Because there's so many events.
Sure.
And so you lose all sense of presence and peace mm-hmm. because you're so used to, like, go, 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 sure. go, go.
And what's the goal?
Right.
Right.
Which wants. Going all the time is actually chaos.
Sure.
We just think it's fun.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's not normal.
No, I get that. I get that. I had to make a rule where I just shut it down at 4:00.
Good for you.
Where you put your phone away and just in the moment. And that came from having a kid.
Yeah.
Where before I didn't because you thought, oh, I got to go to this networking event or I got to go sell.
Yep.
And there was fun, and you had to grow your business, you do your marketing and all that jazz,
because yep.
you're putting out fires during the day, so nighttime is the only time you can really sell.
Yep.
But then when you have this kid, you're like, well, that's not going to work anymore,
mm-hmm.
unless I want some idiot kid,
mm-hmm.
which I don't. So, so I have that rule, right, that I didn't want my kid to be in an interview and have the interviewee thinking, who is this guy's dad?
Right. That good is for just you.
One idiot, right? So I was like, okay, we got to spend time with your kid, right?
Good for
and
you.
And just devote that. So, but it took work.
It was hard, wasn't it?
It was insanely hard.
Yeah.
To just let it go. And even now, when you put your phone away, anytime you walk even close to your phone, you're like, I should just check my email quick,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is no such thing. And you got to just force yourself, like, what will you gain from that?
See, there is a reason why you have me on the show, because you have completely reaffirmed my decision to sell my company.
Sure. That's
nice. So hard. It's hard. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to have that time with your children, like, you know, like, there was a post on Facebook where this woman was like, is starting a business sacrifice or is it something else? I don't know what it was. And, like, everyone was like, it's sacrifice. And I was like, some of it's almost like self-abuse, because there's no line of balance for many people where they can do what you're doing, which is amazing as a parent to say, like, I put in enough today and stop yourself and have that balance with your family. Like, that time with your child is so important.
You know, you use the word sacrifice, and you'll forgive me for the 80s reference, but Pat Benatar had the song Invincible.
Okay.
And I have the sign in my office that has the lyrics from that. It says, with the power of conviction, there is no sacrifice. So if you're devoted to a given goal or focused on something like that, then it's not really sacrifice. So maybe some, like, just say, like, you want to have a kid or something like that. So there's certain things that you have to do to achieve that. You want to have a business or certain things you have to do to achieve that. Where an outsider looking in would be like, oh my gosh, how can you do that?
Yeah.
But in the end, if that's what you want and that's what you're focused on.
If you know, your passion.
Yeah, you know the steps that you have to take.
Yeah.
And it cannot be easy, otherwise everyone would have everything.
True.
And that we just can't have, realistically, because then you always want more, and where does it end, kind of thing.
That's true.
So there has to be a few hurdles to make sure that you want it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the business class that I teach, I feel like there's people in there that almost want it to be easy to start a business. I tell them it can't be. Mm-mm. It just cannot
Otherwise, everybody would do it.
Yes.
Everybody would do it.
Who would you get to work for you?
Starting this new business is so humbling, because I've had, like, Samantha, who bought the business, was my office manager.
Yeah.
So she did all of the, like, computer, like, create a flyer. Oh, like, sure. I literally, like, forgot how to do most of that stuff.
Ah, because you're outsourcing.
Like, this is horrible. I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
Oh, that's
I need
awesome.
Samantha. It's hard.
Can I borrow you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I appreciate her so much more now that I've had to redo all this stuff.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. Yeah, you don't know what you have until it's not there anymore. That's cool.
But yeah, I hear that all the time. People, like, young people be like, I'm going to start a business. It's going to be so great. I'm like, you better get ready to work.
That's fair. That's fair. Do you have any decisions that you wish you would not have made or made sooner throughout the 20 plus years that you've been in business?
That's a good question. You know, I really, really found the most helpful was once I started to evaluate how much energy was wasted.
Oh.
You know, once I really started to streamline all of our systems.
You're talking company-wide.
Right. And and I took the time. I stopped trying to go make new sales. I stepped off of all the boards that I was in. I stepped out of all of the CEO roundtables I was in. I stopped getting more advice from other brilliant people, which served its purpose. Like, I learned so much. But there's a point when you start getting all this great ideas from all these people, like, it was already fine. Now you're just toying with it, right? So I stopped doing all of that. I started looking at every single system and saying, how can I make this easier?
Sure.
And that was the best decision I made for my company. And I wish I would have done that a little bit sooner, but there's no way that could have happened, because it happened when it was supposed to.
Sure. Sure. That's fair. That's totally fair. No, it's interesting, because my crew at Calls on Call has been asking me to sit with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. You guys are good at what you do. We got stuff in place. And just last week, I ended up sitting with one of them just, I don't know, it just happened, I want to say accidentally, that sounds weird, but I was helping her with a problem, and I just grabbed a chair, and she's like, since you're here, just watch. And I did, and I was helping her tweak little things. And I'm like, we've been doing this way for 7 years. And they're just little tweaks, but you think, like, if we save, let's say 10 seconds a day.
Yeah.
Right? Times 4 employees, times how many weeks, times, like, oh, okay, well, that's real time.
I will tell you, those things add up. Like, once I did that, and it took me a few months.
Sure.
To go through all the different processes.
Okay.
The numbers just.
Sure.
It was amazing.
All right. That's awesome.
It's just a little bit of time just to make some little changes that,
sure.
that will completely transform your company.
Sure. Awesome. So what is your favorite thing about being an entrepreneur? Because I see that you're not going out to get a job, right?
Well, actually, I've been doing some part-time painting.
Okay, part-time painting, like painting like walls?
Like houses.
Oh, really?
It's been the best experience ever.
That ball just came out of left field.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
I haven't like shared it with that many people, but it has been the greatest experience ever because I don't have to be the boss.
Okay. And you're just painting walls.
Yeah.
So, like, that big, huge rectangle. Just
yeah, I just
paint
do
away.
It for, like, 12 hours a week so I can get out of the house.
Nice.
And it's, like, getting paid to exercise.
All right.
Which is great, you know?
Awesome.
And so, and the card beanie, I don't want to be doing that. I'd get bored if it was just that since it's just me right
That's
now.
Fair.
Like, I need people in
sure.
my life, too. So,
sure.
I've been doing that. It's been really entertaining.
Ha! That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll stick with it?
Maybe. I mean, I don't have to go to the health club, so.
Sure. I suppose not. So, Kayla, let's finish up with the Card Beanie website. Just can you spell it out for us?
Sure. It's www.cardbeenie.com.
Beenie.com.
Yeah.
I am so happy I had you spell that out because I would have.
Me too.
Totally
I was a little nervous to spell it.
Anyway, awesome. Are there phone numbers or anything like that, or is
yep.
it mostly just website?
So the phone number is 608-345-1493.
Awesome. Cool. So you can be found plus on Etsy, eBay,
Wish,
essentially
soon on Amazon,
all right.
Facebook.
Nice.
Pinterest, Twitter.
Half the internet right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's so important.
That's the name of the game, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I was just reading an article about the where people go for on their first visit to the internet. I don't mean first for the day or any time.
Yep.
And then where they go from there. And there's, like, five websites that they start from.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know what five they are. And then you go from there. So it's interesting the power of those websites.
You got to, and SEO, you just gonna need to
yeah.
get that on there so
mm-hmm.
Google will pick you up.
Yep. It's the name of the game.
Yep.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Kayla Storlid of Card Beanie. Kayla, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been a blast. I don't know if I've learned this much as in an hour anywhere else.
It was fun. Thank you.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.